If you don't know him, he's a prophet. He travels the world, goes to nations upon nations upon nations, speaks to thousands of people, speaks to presidents and, you know, people in political places. And so it's huge that he's here on the backside of a mountain.
Amen.
Amen. We were talking about Acts last week, and then we were talking about this insignificant place in the book of Acts called Lystra. And it was this tucked away place, but it was the place that Paul loved to go. It was the place that Paul found his Timothy.
That's right.
It was a place that Paul began to raise up leaders. And so I think that Crowley Lake is kind of like a Lystra. And I love that we get some amazing people. You're kind of like a Paul. You're coming in, you're pioneering away. And so I believe the Lord has some fresh words for us today as a house, for you as individuals. And so I would just pray that you would open up your hearts, pull on what God wants to speak to us today. Because however much faith you put and however much of a demand you put on the word, that's how much we're going to get. Amen. So it all depends on us. So be alive. Look at your neighbor and say, come alive. Amen. All right, let's welcome our friend and prophet, Michael Dalton.
Well, glory. Are you happy? Are you glad to be here? Are you expecting something? Look at someone and say, expect. You've got to expect something. You've got to let your faith go out. Oh, you've got to be ready. I'm excited because I know the Lord is going to move in a great way because he's told us that he's going to move. And so I believe when he speaks, it is true. But I am just glad to be here. This is a home away from home. Whenever we are with you, so many of you are just like family. We've known you so long, and so it's just a joy to be with you. And I didn't get a chance to hug them last night, but John and Linnell, every time I see them, I just adore them. So I'm saying that publicly. I adore them. And it's just good to be with you. And Mike and Heather, we thank God for you. We thank God for who you are and what you're bringing in this hour to the body of Christ, what you're doing here, but also what's going to go from here to nations. It's going to change nations. And so we thank the Lord for that. I'm excited because we get to travel as a team. And so you saw us last night. We're going to do a little bit of that today. But I know God has something for us. What I'm going to talk about toward the end, I'm just going to bring out a little bit of what Mike was touching on. And when you began to speak, I don't even know if you realized how much of what God has already put in you is just about to explode out. But when you said Lystra, that's why I threw my head back and went, ah, because what the Lord said to me about this house, he said, this house has always been an apostolic hub. And I'm sure you know what those terms are. I don't have to go back through them. But a prophetic house is a house that changes the atmosphere by bringing the word, worship, and faith. An apostolic house produces patterns that can be reproduced to bring the kingdom of God in other places. One changes the atmosphere in a location by putting fire in the hearts of people. The other changes nations by raising up a model in one place singularly that can be reproduced in other places communally. So God is doing something over these last 40 to 50 years where God built a pattern. And every 10 years, God tweaked the pattern. Whether you know it or not, sometimes what looks like trouble is God tweaking a pattern so that at the end of the cycle, the pattern can be reproduced without failing somewhere else. I don't know if y'all ready for me this morning because we want to go deep this morning. God is doing something, but I am honored and thrilled. My pastor, Jim Bain, would you come up here? Can you welcome Pastor Jim Bain?
Are we having fun?
Yeah.
Isn't God good?
Yeah.
Is there anything like him?
No.
No. So I just know this, that there's a strong healing anointing. Not only are we going to get the word today, Michael is alive, and Pastor Deb got the fire of God. And I just know this, that what the Lord's going to do in the house today, there's an expectancy that we carry as we come in. Listen, the Lord has prepared our hearts for such a time as this. So we're excited about what God is doing in the house and in your lives. And so for we get to partner with God as we pour into, as we agree with him about who you are and what you carry in this hour. But part of that is that my portion this morning is that I want to just share a little bit of my life. Can I do that? Can I share a little bit about my journey, where God's taken me? As you know, I was a police officer. I was a homicide investigator. I was a supervisor over the homicide unit and all those things for a number of years. And the Lord used me in so many ways. And oh, how he was so good on how he taught me about kingdom principles, kingdom precepts. And so what I want to touch on is a little bit about fear. Sometimes fear and anxiety can get us. Can I tell you that? Sometimes we can have those kind of things that just wants to get a hold of you. One of my deals was that I was a homicide investigator, and I got a call from the lieutenant that was working patrol, and he said, "Hey, I need you to come to this house in North Indio." I'm like, "Somebody die? He said, "No, just get up here." I said, "Okay," because he was a patrol lieutenant. You don't usually get those kind of phone calls. But as the Lord prepared my heart, I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm about to walk into something here, and I don't know what it is, but I'm going to trust you."
Amen.
So as I came in and I walked in, and it was and I recognized the house as I drove up. I said, "Wait a minute, I've been here." And there was a 16-year-old young man that lived at that house that had gone through some mental anxieties and some issues and had landed in depression. So much so that he was holding his family hostage with a sword. And so the lieutenant said, "Okay, Jim, go get him." I said, "Go get what? What are we talking about?" And he said, "I believe that you're called. They're actually calling for you." I said, "All right, well, let the games begin." But fear was gripping, because I was thinking, because if I made a wrong move, some people could get hurt. So if I wasn't led by the Lord in that moment, if I didn't say and trust the Lord for what I was about to step into, it was about to go really bad. But the Lord said, "Be of good cheer. Be at peace." And so as I walked in there, son saw me. And what happened was he dropped the sword and just ran at me, because I had ministered to him before, because I told him the truth about who he really was. And where he was having a moment, the Lord moved on that. And my lieutenant's mouth just dropped open. He just like, "What just happened here?" So it was an amazing opportunity to love not only that family, but be a difference maker. See, the Lord put me in those positions for a reason. He had me right where he had me. And so there's a pattern that God did in my life. When I was at La Mesa Police Department, we got a call of a fight that was occurring down in a park. And you had to drive down this driveway and circle around to the buildings, but it was actually down. And the Lord said this. He said, "Park up on top of the hill. Don't drive down." I said, "Lord, well, why?" He said, "Shut up," as Michael would say, "and do what I'm doing." "All right." So I parked up on the hill, and I told my buddy that was coming to back me, because he sent two units on these things. And we parked up there, and so, and he asked me, what's wrong with you?" I said, "Well, we don't want to get into that now. Let's take care of the issue at hand." I said, "Yeah, I just need you to go on the right, and I need to go on the left of the driveway." And so as we walked along the driveway, we came over, and I looked over, and I saw these 2 feet somebody was laying down and was laying into the bushes. And it was a Hell's Angel with gun. And there was not only one on this side, there was one on the other side. So they called to get us in a trap, and they were going to do that. So I got to introduce myself to him and invite him into the local jail, you know, because I oughtn't do those things. You know, that's not helpful to the community at large and me personally. So I don't think I said those words, though. I can tell you that. But again, it was the Lord. But there was fear in the midst of this thing. But the Lord overcame. When I was traveling with Michael, we were in New Zealand, and I'd had heart surgery. I had a quintuple bypass surgery. But the Lord always had me. So there was fear in the midst of that. There was anxiety in the midst of that. Can I tell you? But I was at peace. The Lord really had me in the middle of that. So where it tried to exalt itself, I said, no, the Lord has said too much about me, too much of things that I'm called to touch, too many places to go for me to feel like that I'm going to be taken out. Not going to happen. So we stood firm, and the family stood firm, the church family stood firm. And so I came out. It was great. So then Michael and I went to New Zealand. And I'm in the motel room. He's got the front part of the house, or the room, and I've got the back bedroom. And all of a sudden, I felt anxiety, a spirit that just came out, and it landed on me and said, you're going to die. I'm having a heart attack. I'm going to die. So I take my chair out, and I put it in front of Michael, and he's sleeping. I'm like, Michael, wake up. You know, if you're a prophet, you're going to wake up because you're seeing right now I'm in distress. I got things going on. Come on, prophet. What are you doing? I did. I sat in the church staring at him. And so, he can testify to that. So in the midst of that, the Lord said, what are you doing? Oh, my gosh. And so I realized that it was a spirit of anxiety, a spirit of fear that was trying to draw me in. And once I called it out and said, get behind me by the name of Jesus, I'm going to get a good night's sleep. Peace. All of a sudden, boom, I went to sleep. Now, could you imagine that had I listened to that thing, had I reacted to that thing, it would have changed the course of all the things that we were about to touch over the next few days, because they had to rush me to the hospital. All these things would have happened. Here's what I'm saying to you is this, that there's a spirit of fear and anxiety that can get on us. There's things that absolutely will want to take your countenance away, that will want to come against you, that will want to say, oh, this is what's going on. And I'm just saying this, family, I believe that this, perfect love casts out all fear. All. 1 John 4:18. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. It says that we don't carry a spirit of fear, but of sound mind, power, and love. So if we believe that to be true, then why are we listening to voices? Why are we listening to things that are trying? God is calling us for such a time as this, and he's saying this, let's just give it to the Lord. Give it to Jesus. So I felt like today, I didn't want to leave here without this, that if there's anybody here that's been fighting fear or anxiety, I want you to stand up. Amen. 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 I love that. As you present yourself, the Lord says yes and amen. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we call out and we say that anxiety, that fear has no place in them, Father God. And I thank you. And I have the perfect love that Jesus himself will just touch them now. 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 It's by the power and by the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father God. I thank you that they are fear gone. Fear gone. Fear gone, that they carry power, love, sound mind. That's who they are. So, Father, I thank you, Father. And as you just give it to the Lord, just trust him. Listen, this is a time where we got to trust him. Say, whatever that thing is, wherever it originates, get behind you in the name of Jesus. And then trust the Lord for what he's about to do in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you all. Very grateful. Listen, the Lord is victorious. He is who he says he is, and he does what he says he'll do. So just know this. Watch what God's about to do in this season. I believe that he's called you in. I believe that it's a time where as you present yourself, as there's an intentionality in you in this time, the Lord says yes and amen. He agrees with you about you. That's where we stand. That's where I'm calling. I'm saying that we join in. Agree with the Lord about who you are. Listen, identity is a big thing these days. We've got to agree with the Lord about who you are, what he says you are. Not circumstances, not people, but what he says. It's that whole 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, that goes against the knowledge of God of who you are. So I just want to say that I'm grateful for you. I love y'all, and I know the Lord's got amazing things in store for you. Jesus' name.
Yeah. Come on. We cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself against the obedience of what Jesus has done on your behalf. Pastor Jim, that was smoking. That was fire. That was so good. Perfect love. Perfect love has cast out all fear. All. That means all. All means all. All. Ooh. Okay, this morning, I didn't know I'd have a moment to speak this morning, but I want to maybe just share maybe 3 minutes of what the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart this morning. He woke me up, shook me up this morning, said, Debbie, get your pen out, write down what I'm about to say for this house. So I want to share with you the intimacy of a relationship of this horizontal, as Albie would say, minister to an audience of one. There's a relationship, and Helen would weep because of the tenderness and the goodness of whose we are. She just would weep at the goodness of God. And so this morning, I got my pen out, and this is what he said. This is, as Michael has said, an apostolic hub. There is nothing you can do about it. It's a done deal, so you might as well get used to it. Swing wide the gates of your heart and believe what he's already said. You may have had some trouble. You may have had some discontented things that have happened to you, and you've been itching to say, when is it ever going to change? But the fire of God has burned out all the chaff. His wind has blown away every presence that is not like him, and he's released the fire of his presence in this house, says the Lord. So this is a city of refuge, a revival reformation. This is in me, in Christ. This is the house of my heart. This is the house of my rest. This is the house of my peace. This is the house of my joy. For out of this house shall come forth my nature, my character, my purity, my innocence. For I am who I say I am, and I shall do what I said I shall do. For such a time as this, I have sifted and I have shaken everything that can be shaken, and I have stirred the beauty of my presence, my fire, my passion has settled in this house. My river shall overtake men's hearts with joy unspeakable, full of glory. I shall restore childlikeness, waters to swim in, washed white as snow. For the prayers of the saints have come up where I am, and I have burst forth my heart from this house, showering all those who enter with blessings that shall overtake you. The wealth and abundance of my riches shall flow from this place. Tested, tried, and true are you who have stayed the course of my dwelling, says the Lord. Abide in all that I have said and walk uprightly with my sound. For my sound shall come forth in mammoth proportions, weighty and fresh oil and new wine. That's right on time. Radiant glory infused with me. Oh, to see as I see. In my presence, there's fullness of joy. Citizens of heaven, free, free at last to love. Keeping no record of wrongs. Set your straight gaze ahead with my mind, says the Lord, with the mind of Christ, baptized in the fire of my love, submerged in all that I am. For there was a hymn long ago that said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood that loosed all guilty stains, washed all your sins away. By faith we saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supplied. Redeeming love has been our theme and shall be until we die. Jesus is our all in all. Resurrection validates your innocence. Once and for all, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let the redeemed say so, for you have my heart on this mountain of truth and grace. Your sins have been erased as far as the east is from the west, washed in my precious blood. White as snow, so my glory goes. Rest in all that I am and sing with my heart that is yours. Shake off all the past, for this is built to last in all that I am and ever shall be. Glory seen as me. Unity has come, and double blessings shall flow from my heart to yours. Let's go.
Hey. Yes, Lord. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. There is something stirring in this house. Look at somebody and say, stir up.
Stir up.
Stir up. Whenever you put ingredients together, if you let things sit too long, you've got to stir them again because they start to separate. The other word for stir is agitate. When you're making salad dressing, when you're making components and you put them together, how many of you remember before we had the fancy blenders? Your mom or your grandma, they would put all the ingredients in a mason jar. Put the top on it and just shake that sucker. That's called agitation.
Every now and then, God has to agitate us because everything that's in us is still there. You didn't lose what God gave you. You haven't lost any anointing, the gifts of God, the power of God, the provision of God, the works of God, all of that still sitting in you. But every now and then, you've got to shake yourself because you've let the oil separate from where it was supposed to be. You've let life separate things out of your spirit. You forget what God had said, but every now and then you've got to shake yourself and remind yourself that what God said is real. It's real. God declares over this house this morning. First, the Lord begins to make it clear to us that we cannot have victory and hold on to fear. So we have to purposefully get rid of fear every time it raises its head. It is never acceptable for a believer to stay in fear. It's not acceptable. It is anti-faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. So to abide in fear is anti-faith. That means you are actively fighting the faith that's in you so that you can live in what your mind says is normal. That's just stupid. You have to actively make a decision. The Holy Spirit says, I'll give you victory. No. You don't know what I've been through. You are actively fighting truth. The word of God says, but greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Yeah, but I've seen a whole lot of believers go through trouble. So they quoted that scripture too. You're actively fighting truth. God says, I'm with you and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah, but you said you were with me and I've gone through hell sideways. And just, they drug me and it's been horrible. And my dog bit my ankle and my cat just scratched my face. And every time I turn around, the horse tried to kick me in the head. It might have kicked me in the head. I don't remember. And so you have these things that end up affecting your walk with God because we begin to believe that fear is normal. But I don't know about you. I'm not who I used to be. Now, Mike, I realized this morning only about half of them really agreed. So to the rest of y'all, we'll preach the gospel again. Because the gospel is not that you agree that Jesus is who he said he is. The gospel is you let him be in you who he said he is. The gospel is not that you agreed that Jesus is who he says he is. Demons believe he is who he says he is. There are Muslims who agree he was a prophet. There are Hindus who believe he has power. That does not change your situation. I believe that who he says he is now in me. So he's not just a healer, but he's in me healing. He's not just a deliverer, but he's in me delivering. He's not just a blesser, but he's blessing on the inside of me. So until you believe that his reality is now indwelt in you fully, you will always be living from the place of loss. Always waiting for more to show up. I'm not looking for more. I got plenty in me. Woo! Oh, Lord, let's preach this. Okay. We're going to go on a little journey, and then we're going to talk about something. When Debbie stood up and she began to talk, there was a fire because early this morning I saw a glimpse of her hand on fire. And the Lord said, she's got something this morning because her hand is on fire. So when she stood up and said, I was writing in the middle of the night. We didn't see each other until breakfast time. We haven't discussed any of this. The Lord puts things together. If God puts it together, it's building a picture. So conquering our fear allows us to step into the apostolic authority and the prophetic mandate. What does that mean? It doesn't matter how many prophecies you have over your life, they will never manifest until you agree you are new. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. It is not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. until you fully believe that he has indwelt you fully and he has given you a new existence, you will be fighting from the place of loss. Because your past convinced you that your future will never look better than it's been. Your friends convinced you you will always live at the level of your community. Your pain convinced you to never celebrate too loud just in case you lose something. And fear convinced you to live in a small world, because if you dream big dreams and they fall apart, what are you going to do then? So we've let the negative frame our world instead of the word of God build our future. So we know what we believe by what says, what you say out of your mouth, and how you respond in trouble. Trouble is a great revealer of faith. Lord, I trust you. See the end. And we speak great words, and then trouble comes, and our worship gets softer, and our prayers get quieter, and we stop quoting the word so loudly, and then we start saying stupid stuff on Facebook. And we come in church and say, I believe God, but Monday through Saturday, you've got 97 posts that say, I'm afraid. So you prophesied to the world that you have no faith, because your negativity got more likes than your positive confession. And the only way we feel normal is to have people agree with us. So most people are living in a place of dysfunction. So we now commiserate about dysfunction rather than build community about movement forward. So we sit in our losses and talk about what I've lost, what you've lost. Meet me in the morning for coffee and let's all talk about how bad the world is. So we sit around and slowly suck the life out of our future. And then come to a meeting and say, prophesy a good word to me because I want to know what God's going to do. He ain't going to do nothing till you change your mind. Ooh, I love it. And what you have to know about me, for those of you who've never heard me preach before, if you get mad, that makes me happy. Because most of us don't know what's in us until our own emotion is revealed. Now the question becomes, if God has made you a new creature, let's cover this just for a moment. Before I met God, I was, and you know, so many people say I had a horrible life of sin and that's why I came to Jesus. If you had a horrible life of sin, you was doing it wrong. So here's what I discovered. I had a great life of sin. I didn't come to Jesus because my life was miserable. I came to him because he has power to set me free. And when he set me free, I found out I didn't need all the stuff that I was leaning on before. If misery drove you to God, then you'll only stick with him until something makes you feel better than him. He cannot be your anesthesia. He has to be your answer. If he is the anesthesia in your life, you will only let him heal you until something better comes along. But if he is your only answer, you don't look for other options. He's my only answer. He's the only place I run to. He's the only one I lean on. He is my strength, my help, my life, my joy. He is my laughter in sorrow. He is my song in the midnight. He is the one that rocks me to sleep when the boat looks like it's going down. He's the one that gives me peace when the plane is about to crash. He is the one. How do I know it? Because I've been in situations just like that, and he was with me. So you've got to let him be your all in all. How does that happen? You have to stop making options. The reason many times our faith does not go past a certain level, I call it medium faith. There's levels of faith. In the Bible, there's 7 levels of faith. 7 levels of faith are mentioned in Scripture. You go from little faith to some faith, to much faith, to great faith, to mountain moving faith, to God-like faith. It builds, it builds, it builds. You have to grow your faith. So every man is given the measure of faith. That means every human. It didn't say every believer. It said every man. Every human born on the planet has a bit of faith in them. Why? Because an unbeliever believes in something. Everybody who believes in some other religion, they had faith in there. They got faith to believe. Every human born on the planet has faith inside of them when they come into the world. To every man is given the measure of faith. Now you have to choose who you lend your faith to. So since the faith was in me, given by God, because if we are made in the image and likeness of God, you cannot be in his image without faith in you. So every human on the planet was put faith inside of them. You were born with faith. You came into the world with faith. A baby believes if I cry long enough, somebody will feed me. A little kid believes if I keep going, mama, 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 she's going to let me have that toy. There's faith in that child. Why? Because they didn't give up. That's a belief system at work. That's a belief system. That's a belief system. Every child has faith in them. Every child learns if I look at them like this when grandmama comes in the room, I get an extra piece of candy. So I might not even like grandmama, but grandmama got candy. So I got faith if I get candy. That's faith at work. That's action. In every person, there is faith. Now, where you aim your faith will determine what you receive. So you have to aim your faith because even when you're not talking, you're believing. So what are you believing for? Jesus said it like this. He said, when you stand praying, and you say these words. He didn't say you'll get what you prayed. He said whatever was in your heart. This is good. This is good. This is good. He didn't just say I'll give you what you said. He said whatever's in your heart when you stand to pray. Some of us stood to pray. But we didn't clean our heart before we prayed. So what was in our heart was bitterness. So we're praying the right prayer, but our heart is, I can't stand them. So God said, I have to let you live in what's hiding in your heart. Because your words are not connected to real faith. Because real faith would have made you empty your heart of the thing that's stopping your faith from working. Real faith will make you deal with your heart. How do I know that? Because I am so determined to see God move in supernatural answers, signs and wonders, that the moment he shows me something is wrong in my heart, I deal with my heart. Why? I cannot afford 10 minutes where he's not going to answer what I'm asking for. I can't afford 5 minutes without a real anointing showing up. I can't afford to be mad at you when tomorrow somebody might show up that needs a miracle. I can't afford to have an attitude with you because I don't know when the phone might ring and I need to call on God. I can't afford getting bitter with you because tomorrow I might need to step into the glory. So I'm not dealing with my heart so that everybody will like me. I'm dealing with my heart so heaven stays open. Ooh. It is not the word of a prophet that gives them power. It is the heart of a prophet. Balaam prophesied correctly, and he was called a false prophet. Oh, you can prophesy and have everything you said be right. And God goes, I don't like you. Because your heart is false. Your gift is true, but your heart is false. That's why we're not supposed to be moved by gifts in the body. We're supposed to be moved by fruit. Because we've had a whole lot of people with powerful gifts that we don't hear of anymore. But somebody with good fruit, 40 years down the road, they're still producing fruit. Oh. One thing I love about Albie Pearson is there's been fruit on his tree. He was loving people 50 years ago, and when you talk to him now, he's still loving people. He was forgiving people and talking about go low, son, go low. And when you talk to him today, he's talking about go low, son, go low. He was full of joy back then. Oh, we could burp with an anointing and see God move. And he's still talking about, I've been out on the edge. And let me tell you what God is saying. So what keeps you strong? It's not just the gift. The gift is going to move because you're full of the Holy Spirit. But fruit you have to develop. So maturity is connected to fruit, not gifts. So in this apostolic house that is about to start growing all over again, your reach is about to go further than you thought. You have to make sure that you keep the trees pruned. What does that mean? That means in all relationships, as you're building in this next season, make sure the fruit on your tree looks fresh. That the love is fresh. That your peace is not bruised. That there's not worms eating into your long suffering. That there's not beetles gnawing into forgiveness. If it's fruit, it means you have to protect it from the insects, the influences, the demonic powers that would try to corrupt the fruit. It's still on the tree, but when you pull the fruit down and it's full of bugs, it's good for no one. What does that mean? You've got to inspect your fruit. Don't just say you're loving, but is your love fresh? Can someone take a bite of your love and be healed by the love of God? Can someone sit beside you and your peace cover them until they stop crying? Can your forgiveness cause someone who thought God would never forgive them to come back to church just because you never held them hostage to their mistakes? Can your long suffering rebuild relationships because you've decided, I'd rather let you get away with wrong and get you restored to God than keep beating you up publicly and lose your soul? Can you suffer long? Or is 15 minutes the limit of your patience in God? Ooh, you don't know what she said about me. Don't matter. You don't know what he did to me. Don't matter. I've been so mistreated. Good. Jesus said, when they start to abuse you, count it all joy. For so they did the prophets before you. This is your invitation to maturity, being mistreated. So stop talking about what they did and say, I'm so glad I'm in the club. I'm in the club now. I'm in the Christian club. I'm one of them disciples now. They talking about me like a dog. They writing about me. They got me on Instagram. Somebody put out a video on me. Yay! Why is that important? You have to understand. This is a prophetic message, but I'm throwing some things into the atmosphere. You have to understand that as this house begins to step into a new wind, there is going to be verbal attacks that are going to come against the new things God has put in your spirit as you build a pattern that's going to go from city to nations and bring transformation. Everyone who decided who you should be is going to attack who you are becoming. And if you're not expecting the attack, you'll let it slow you down. But if you expect the attack, you go, oh, okay, keep talking. And you just go forward. Nehemiah understood because he had an apostolic mandate to rebuild. An apostolic model builds patterns and systems that can transfer from place to place. Success in one place is rebuilt in many other places. Nehemiah's job was rebuild the broken down walls, rebuild the city, rebuild the temple. So Nehemiah understood, if I have this prophetic word that now has given me an apostolic authority as I'm rebuilding, the negativity that comes toward me is not about me, but it's about my assignment. You only get weary and get out of position when you think the attack is personal. It's not personal. None of us are so important that that many people sit up at night thinking about how to fight you. So get your mind right and stop letting a few folk talking slow down your progress. Because until you said yes to God, nobody knew who you were. So now that we said yes to God and people start talking, we suddenly feel like I'm so persecuted. They're not persecuting you. They don't know you. They know the God you carry. What's in them has been stirred up by what's in you. So the spirits of this world, the demonic powers in a city, the enemies in an atmosphere recognize you're coming with a mandate to bring the kingdom of God. So the fight is we have to discourage you before you build what you were sent to build. So you've got to recognize when they start talking, get louder. What do you do when opposition comes? You get louder. Let me just walk this through. If there is fear, that's how we started. If there is fear in your heart, when opposition comes, you back up. But if you understand that God is with you from that prophetic word, then when the opposition comes, you step forward. If there is fear in your heart, when the challenge comes, you get quiet. Have you ever been in a room with somebody that was just real angry and nobody wanted to make them mad? And you notice everybody started whispering to each other because you didn't know what was going to set them off. And you start going, yeah, how you doing, Ricky? And Ricky's like, yeah, yeah. Right there. That's it. And so the whole room now yields itself to one voice. To that spirit, to that person. So now the room has bowed its authority to a rebellious person because we didn't want to confront what's trying to control. So when a spirit comes that is rebellious and is trying to control an atmosphere, you don't get quiet and yield in the hope, if we just yield to it long enough, they'll just come back into the right heart and we can all walk together. No, because it's not them. It's a spirit on them. Because nobody in their right mind destroys unity on purpose. It's a spirit. So when that spirit starts to act up, you've got to go, how you doing, Ricky?
I'm okay.
Oh, see that right there? See that? He got. When something comes at you, Jesus didn't run from an atmosphere. He walked toward it. When the girl with the demonic spirit is crying out to Paul, these are righteous men. This is a servant of God. She had a spirit of divination. She was saying the right thing, but by the wrong spirit. Ooh. That's why as you're building an apostolic house, you have to understand that the thing that tries to creep in around the prophetic is divination. Saying the right thing sounds prophetic, but it's got the wrong spirit behind it. What they said was right, but they only prophesy to get position. What they said was right, but they flatter you rather than prophesy. What they said was right, but they only prophesy to people who can bless them. What they said was right, but they never show up to go and win the lost or feed the hungry or clothe the naked. They only show up for high-profile events so that they can be remembered. That's a different spirit. That's not a prophetic spirit. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's another spirit that's trying to manipulate its way into a place of authority so that it can control what God is doing. So when you see that thing at work, you don't bow to it. You don't run from it. You have to look the enemy in the face and say, wait a minute, we're not doing that. Do you know what kills most churches? Niceness. Niceness. Political correctness. Everybody trying to make everybody happy. God didn't die so you could be happy. He died so you could be free. Get happy after you get free. But nobody's trying to make you happy while you still got devils telling you to do dumb stuff. Come on, let's think now. God has not come to give his life so that you could do what was already in your heart. Because what was in your heart didn't come from him till you met him. The Lord just wants you to do whatever was in your heart. No, he don't. Because what was in your heart yesterday was to go to somebody else's house and smoke weed. I ain't gonna point to nobody, but I see vapors. And so what happens? Oh, God is good. I can tell some are thinking, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know. I'm enjoying myself, but I don't know what's going on. Now, here's what happens. God is going to put you in situations to develop what you carry. To develop what you carry, he has to let you be in an adversarial climate. Because greatness does not grow when it's complimented. It grows where it's resisted. So greatness has to be resisted for it to reach full maturity. The only way to build muscles is by resistance. You have to be resisted. You've got to push against something. The only way to build a good prayer life is something has to tell you that's not going to happen and you pray through. The only way to build a good faith life is something has to say it's not going to happen for you and you say, oh, yes, it is in Jesus' name. The only way to believe that miracles are real is when the doctor gave you a bad report and you said, I'm just not going to die. You've got to have a resistance for you to fight through. So what happens to many of us is weariness steals our progress because we have determined a time limit through which our faith will work. God, I'm going to trust you, but you got 28 minutes. Lord, I'm going to believe you for healing. But in about 4 weeks, if you hadn't come through, I need you to know. And then we don't just make that decision. We invite people into it. I was believing God, but you know, after about 3 months, I got tired. And then we started going, 3 months? Man, that's a long time. You believe that long? Whew. Ooh, I wouldn't have made it but about 10 days. So God is really with you. So we strengthen each other because we haven't built our faith muscles. As an apostolic house, as you're about to go into new territory, as God is about to use you, you're going to have to build your faith muscles. You're going to, as a house, start agreeing on specific stuff you're believing for. And don't move till it manifests. And literally write out those victories. Put them up here sometimes on Sunday. Send them out through email. Remind each other and say, we have another victory. God has spoken. When something goes wrong, say, well, we're trusting God. We're going to keep believing. But you build up community-wide faith by believing for community moments. We're believing together for this, and we're going to check that off the list when it comes to pass so we as a house know God heard us. That's how you build your faith. As you begin to build your faith in the community, now begin to build the sound of your praise. Every time God answers you, when you come back together, you need to take a moment and as a family, give God unrestricted praise so that God goes, this is a house that is building an altar of thanksgiving. And because they're building a place of thanksgiving, I will keep releasing miracles because nobody else is thanking me. Oh. Do you know what David said? You know, David was a dirty dog. David was a mess. He was. You got to read your Bible. I love David. David was God's man. He was God's choice. But David was a mess. They knew David was dead when they threw a woman in his bed and he didn't wake up. You better read your Bible. Is this not true? Thank you for the 8 people in the room that read. Okay. Literally at the end of his life, they said, we think the king is dead. Are you sure? How do you know he's dead? They said, well, put a woman in his bed. And if he don't move, he's dead. You know everybody know your problem when they... Okay. When the people praying for your miracle go, you know what? If sin don't wake him up, he dead. And what did the Bible say? What did David say when judgment was coming? David said these words that have to settle in our hearts. He said, oh God, don't let me die, for the grave cannot praise you. He said, God, the one thing I need you to remember is I'm going to give you a worthy praise every day. I'm going to sing before you and build an atmosphere that you can do miracles. I'm going to praise you until nations are transformed. God, I know I've made some mistakes, but I need you to understand that I'm going to be the one person in this nation that will be absolutely unrestricted in my love toward you. And God says to David, man, I can't let you die. I'm going to keep you alive for your praise. So my question is, what would God do for a whole church that was determined every week? God, keep us strong and alive, because we will praise you like nobody in these mountains. We will praise you like nobody in the Eastern Sierras. We will sing of your worth until nations hear your value. We will lift up our hands until angels fill the room to join us. We will prophesy and proclaim your goodness until a generation bows before your feet. God, keep us alive so that we may give you the praise worthy of you. Oh, what would happen in your family if you taught your children how to do that? If that's what you did at your dinner table? If you created a worthy praise? You don't have to go crazy for 5 minutes. Just right there at the table, begin to tell him, you are wonderful. You are awesome. I love you, God. I adore your greatness. You are wise beyond all knowing. I think about you and I shiver on the inside for your kindness toward me. Oh, you are a good God, for you have rescued me from death, kept me from sickness, did not let me die in the middle of my problems. I worship you, for even when I had pain in my body, you comforted me and you breathed over me. I will sing of your praises. What would your house look like if you built God an altar of worship? Oh, my, 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 my. In this apostolic house, I felt that. Oh, God is settling on this house. He's always been here. But in this model that I believe he's building in the midst of you, a couple of things. When God is building a fresh model, there will always be contention about the old model. Mm-hmm. When God is building a fresh model, many times because, I say it like this, we have Greek mindsets. We don't think Hebraically. In Hebraic culture, they thought in the forms of a circle. God who sits on the circumference of the earth, he who was, who is, and who is to come, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that's a circle. That's past, now, and future. That's thinking in a circle. It means unbroken time, unbroken power, unbroken wisdom. So if God is everywhere at the same time, but reigning here, if he's good everywhere, but favoring me, if he loves everybody, but he's opening doors for me. It's understanding that he can be all and yet present. He's touching all, but increasing me. It's not restricting God to the Greek mindset, which is either or. The Greek mindset is either or, which is why most churches get into trouble, because when God wants to do something new, we think we have to kill the old to do something new. It's an either or. And when God is calling us into new, many of us are either holding on to the old so much we reject the new, or we want the new so much we hate the old. But you don't kill what did work. You build on it. You build on it. So as we go forward, an apostolic model pulls in all the pieces and sets everyone to full manifestation. Everyone in full manifestation. Why is that important? As you're going to touch nations, God is going to bring people here who are going to drink from the waters that you're digging. And as they're coming in, if you are already celebrating each other's gifts, talents, and callings, then it'll be easy for you to make room for new people. If you're holding on to old mindsets and patterns, you'll kill anyone who brings in something that you didn't think of. So God says, open wide your gates, throw open your doors, swing wide ye gates. The king is about to come in, make room for him. And as you're making room, he brings in new thought, new ideas, new strategies, and he begins to increase you. Is this making sense? Is this helping anybody? Okay. I'm only going to go for about 5 more minutes, then we're done. Wow, I hear unbelief. Wow. I'm telling you, I feel like unbelief has come from the West. Oh, but I gotta love them. I was just in Paris, so anything French, we celebrate. So God is doing something new in us. God is doing something new. Now, when God is building the model and we're stepping into it, three things. Number one, it will always require greater faith. This next level that God is about to take you all to, it's going to require greater faith. So that's why you've got to build your faith together. Greater faith. Stir your faith. Share your victories. I would say it like this. You need to start as a church and in the different small groups. If I can throw this out here. Start a journal of answered prayer. We all keep these prayer lists, but we don't record the answers. Keep a journal of answered prayer in all of your meetings so that when people come in and something is answered, someone gets delivered from a spirit, or somebody gets healed, or their children get saved, or there's a financial breakthrough. Write it down, put the date, and put on the bottom, we prayed on this day and God answered on this day. Record the answers. This will be the testimonies of the Lord's glory to the next generation. This is how we build faith and momentum. Record the answers. Second, celebrate each other's victories. Celebrate each other's victories. Don't meditate on each other's failures. Don't meditate on issues from the past. Celebrate each other's victories. Find a reason to celebrate each other. If you can't find anything good except I really like those shoes you got on, then just walk up and say, I celebrate your talent and your eye for creativity. I'm serious. Because what happens to us many times in community is we get so used to each other that we lower the bar of respect. And we think we have permission to assassinate each other. So we're not speaking truth in love. We're just getting stuff off our chest. That's a difference. Speaking truth in love means I'm saying what the word says so I can help you become what God said you are. Amen. Getting stuff off your chest is I just need to tell you this so I can feel better. It's two different things. That one is selfish. A selfish response does not build community growth. So before you speak, why am I saying this? Find a reason to celebrate. The third thing, don't believe the negative from third-party sources. Oh, yeah, CNN is good, but no, I'm not even referring to CNN. I'm talking about in the church. We've heard so much politics and fake news where, you know, our minds immediately go to MSNBC, CNN. Okay, no. Third-party source, according to Scripture, first-party source, according to Scripture, is if you have an issue with your brother, you go to them. That's first party. First party to first party. Second party is if they don't respond, you take one person with you. These third-party issues is when we have people calling us saying, do you know what they said about you? Third-party issues is when someone says, well, I know you like that church, but. Third-party issues is, I know they're good in worship, but you don't know what they did. Third-party issues is, I'd really trust them, but, you know, 15 years ago. Whew. So now we have people bringing us division who were not even in the conversation. So to build an apostolic model that produces strength into others, you have to have a system that is so interconnected through love that it cannot be easily broken. So you weed out gossip, innuendo, and slander by simply saying this. The moment someone says a negative, you say, you know what? Let me call them with you here. There you go. Let me call them right now with you here, because the Bible says I'm not supposed to take your opinion. I'm supposed to ask them what happened. So I believe the best about them and I believe the best about you. So I don't take a bad report to them and I don't believe a bad report from you. Let's settle this right now. Let's call them and you repeat what you said so that we can deal with this. And the moment they go, no, I don't want to do that. Excellent. Then don't ever bring me gossip again. Because if we can't deal with it in the light, it will only destroy us in the dark. So we build strength by not believing a lie. Is this helping anybody? Okay. Pastor Jim Bain, Pastor Gary Smith, Pastor Debbie Smith. The Lord has allowed us all to walk together. In the beauty of us walking together, one thing I can promise you, there is nobody that can come to me and say, Jim Bain said this, this, and this about you. And it's negative. Because what do? We immediately call each other. And we say, look, so-and-so just said this. You know I didn't say that. I knew you didn't. Now let's deal with him. The Bible says, mark them that cause division. If you don't start dealing with division at the root, you take that thing home. It sits in your ear. It starts whispering to you. Now you go to bed with that thought in your mind. Then you wake up going, maybe they did say that. Because a couple of weeks ago when I went to hug them, they didn't hug me right away. And they used to answer every time I'd call them, and now it went to voicemail. And I put something on Facebook, and they didn't like it in 10 minutes. Oh, what they said is true. They don't like me anymore. And we believe a lie because we let a lie sit in our mind and grow. So how do you deal with it? You kill a lie at the root. Amen. Oh, you say they said? Let me call them right now. That's how you kill a lie. Do you know how much peace you could have in your church, in your family, in your marriage, if you stop letting other people give you their opinion as though it is true? The worst thing in the world is to let somebody who can't cook give you a recipe. The worst thing in the world is to have someone who's never had a good relationship try to talk into your marriage. The worst thing in the world is to let somebody who has never had a job or made any money always tell you what to do with your finances and convince you that tithing is a bad idea. They're always broke, and they're telling you not to tithe, and you're listening? Okay. All right, then. See, we have to stop. Don't let a lie become your truth because you wouldn't reject their words. Stop it at the root. This house will influence nations. This house will change the course of history. This house was built by the hand of God to affect generations. And for the next 100 years, God is going to pour oil out of this place into cities and nations. All you have to do is stop for a minute and say, what has God already done from here? From a church on the backside of a mountain. God has built churches all across the nation. God has sent prophets, evangelists, preachers, and teachers into the four corners of the world. God has stirred revival in nations out of this house. From the root all the way to the fruit that's now on the tree, God has built great. And God is saying, don't forget what I've done. But if what I did was amazing, what I can do next is stupendous. So set your gaze to the future. Set your faith to the next level. Begin to pray and declare what is coming. Begin to speak what is in the heart of God. Begin to call in resources. I say to the prayer teams, begin to call in resources. Call in finances. Call in new land. Call in favor. Before you take a trip, prophesy favor. When I land in that nation, doors will open and people will work with me. Prophesy blessing. Begin to declare that your children and your grandchildren shall serve the Lord all the days of their life and walk in power and glory. Begin to speak over the atmosphere that this shall be the most healed and healthy area in the state of California, that they will live to be in their 90s and there will be no cancer in our... Begin to declare that thing. You can prophesy the destiny of a region. God is waiting for someone to speak it. And remember simply, the great warfare of this region has always been one thing, the battle for unity. So if you practice the three things we threw out there, praying together builds unity. Believing together builds unity. Not believing a bad report keeps out disunity. You can build a foundation of unity so strong that it cannot break nor split because you trust each other's heart. Unity does not last because of a vision. It lasts because of trust. I may not always agree with you, but I trust you. And because I trust you, nobody can divide me from you. Even if I don't know what you're doing, I trust your heart. I know you wouldn't wound me. I know you wouldn't hurt my kids. I know you wouldn't break me on purpose. So I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and walk with you until I see the glory of God. For many of us, the reason we haven't been able to see the breakthrough come is because we don't know how to trust. If you cannot trust, you'll never be in unity. What does trust look like? We have made these excuses and we go, we just need to agree. Agreement is not trust.
We just need to walk together. Walking together is not trust, because we'll walk together till we see a different road. Trust is, I know who you are in God so deeply in my spirit. Know them that labor among you. I know who you are in God. So I'm not looking at your flesh. I'm not looking at the mistakes you make along the way. I'm not looking at some issues that rise up from time to time. Why? Because we're all growing. What I'm looking at is God said something to me about you. And I'm trusting what God said to me about you. God said I could walk with you. I prayed about it. I sought God about it. God gave me peace concerning you. So when everything looks negative, I'm not going to trust what I see. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So my faith is in what God said about the relationship, not what my eyes tell me about the relationship. And that's how we build so that the enemy cannot destroy it. Because I'm not trusting you because you're gifted or talented. I'm trusting you because I see the same Jesus in you that I see in me. I see integrity in you, and I see that I can trust you. And if I lean on what I see in the spirit, we'll survive what we're doing in the natural. But you got to trust. Trust. You can't build without trust. So as you're building, expect the supernatural provision of God. Expect the supernatural provision of God. Expect God to move. Expect answers to prayer. Expect the glory of God. Expect it. Expect it. Believe for it. Speak good over each other. Speak good over the house. Speak good over the ministries on the mountain. Speak good over what's coming next in your life. Prophesy it. Declare it. Say it like you believe it. And when the opposite shows up, laugh out loud. You got to laugh at the devil. You got to learn how to laugh at him till he gets out of your house. Laugh at him till he leaves you alone. You got to laugh at him. Oh, yeah, yeah. How many of you remember Kenneth Hagin? Dad Hagin. Kenneth Hagin was a powerful man of God. And Kenneth Hagin said when they came to him, once he had had a heart attack. And he had had the heart attack, and they were rushing him to the hospital. As they're taking him to the hospital, he said, I was about to start praying, and all I could feel was to laugh. He's had the heart attack. He's laying on the gurney. He said, they had my arms like this. They got all this stuff on my chest. He said, and I just began to go, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. I'm laughing at you, devil. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha. He said, one of the ladies that was working on him, she said, oh, he's delusional. He's delirious. He said, well, that made him laugh louder. Ha, ha, ha. And then he started to switch. He went, he, he, ha. All of a sudden, the power of God began to flow across his chest. And God began to put his heart back together. So that when they got to the hospital and they checked him, they said, we can't explain it. But there's nothing wrong with your heart. And the Lord said, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, Kenneth. You laughed your way into victory. Religion will always tell you that being happy is anti the Spirit of God. I need you to understand, anyone tells you that, they're dumber than a box of rocks. For the Bible says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh at his enemies. God is a laughing God. The Bible declares God laughed at his enemies, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you know what Isaac means? Laughter. So the seed of promise, which speaks of us, for Abraham speaks of the father of faith, which was representing Jesus. Isaac speaking of the one who would be sacrificed, representing Christ, who we have taken on the Christ-like nature when we received him. Then the one who represented Christ going up to the mountain, being sacrificed symbolically to God the Father, having a representation given at the last minute, the ram in the bush. Isaac represented Jesus, and God decided that the one who would represent Jesus in the old covenant should be named Laughter. God said, you don't even look like me until your name is Laughter. Oh, you've got to keep your joy. Keep your strength. Someone said to me one day, you talk like you must not have gone through anything. You know, people say that to us, Mike. Don't you know, they when you tell them to rejoice and come on, let's praise God, you don't know what I've been through. You just act like you hadn't been through anything. That's called faith. Acting like you've been through something is called sorrow. It's victimization. It's choosing to let your faith display your pain for pity's sake. People can give you pity, but God gives you power. So I don't need people to pity me. I need God to get me out of it. So what gets me out of it? The joy of the Lord. What gets me through it? Faith in the Word of God. What gets me through it? The power of the Holy Ghost. So stop looking for people to tell you, I understand. And look for God to say, I'm with you. Come on out of this. Yeah. Yay! He's a mighty God. Yes. Yes. He's a winner. He's a winner. He's a conqueror. He's a mighty God. Oh, he's a winner. He's not a loser. He's a winner. Your God is a fighter. Hey, he's a great God. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's a fighter who wins every battle. The Bible declares in Exodus, the Lord our God. The Lord is a warrior. Yes, he's a warrior. God knows how to win. He likes to fight for his children. He likes to throw into the ring. He likes to move in power. God fights for his children. God will come into the midst of your storm. I'm done teaching. I just want to preach for about 5 minutes. God likes to fight for you. God likes to show up and heal at the last minute. He likes to deliver when everything said no. He'll heal your mind and deliver your family. God shows up with glory unspeakable. He'll put joy inside of you and make you rise up again. And when the doctor said no, God said yes. He's a fighter. He's a warrior. Oh, he's a mighty God. I've discovered that God is a fighter. I've discovered that God is a warrior. I've discovered that he's unstoppable. I've discovered that whatever he says, he will do. I've discovered that if he speaks it, he will bring it to pass. I've discovered when the waters are flowing, he'll step in the waters and split them for me. When the fire is burning, he'll put out the flames for me. When the enemy surrounds me like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. He's a mighty God. Yay! Yes! Yay! You've got to be excited that whatever's going on, God is with you. When I was a little boy, I was in school. And this guy came up to me one day and he began to push me. He was in the older class. He was a senior. And I was 8th grade, they had just joined the two schools. And he was pushing on me. And I went to push him back, and he went to punch me. And right when he's going to punch me, he pulled his arm down at the last minute. And I thought, that's right. That's right. You better believe it. I was this tall and 120 pounds bigger than I am. So, yeah. I was just like a beach ball with shoes on, so. And I thought he pulled his hand back because of me. But my brother, Ronnie, was standing behind. And the guy was about to hit me, but my brother was the head of the wrestling team. My brother was a fighter. My brother was taller than me and all muscle. And when the guy is ready to, he was pushing on me, but he's about to hit me. And suddenly he stops. And as I'm rejoicing in the victory, I turn around and my brother standing there like this. And this is what my brother said. Tell all your friends, you put your hands on him, you deal with me. And I went, oh. Then you walk around school. That's right. The Lord said to me one day, do you remember that day when you were about to be in a fight and the one who's about to hit you stopped his hand because your brother was behind you? I said, yeah. He said, well, who is Jesus? I said, he's my elder brother. He said, you need to understand, even when it looks like the enemy is pushing on you, right when that last hit is about to come and take you out, I'll make the enemy see there's angels around you. Jesus is with you. I'll make the enemy see that the blood of Jesus is covering you. I'll make the enemy see that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Don't get nervous. Don't get afraid. Don't lose your testimony. You stand your ground, because sooner or later, God will cause you to understand there are more fighting for me than against me. I've got an army you cannot see. I've got angels surrounding me. There is blood covering us. There is a word going in front of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Remember that. Remind yourself. Every now and then you need to prophesy. COTM is surrounded. COTM got angels. You need to walk up on the ground and say, this ground is covered. We thank you for miracles. We thank you for breakthrough. We thank you for signs and wonders. We thank you we're covered, 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 covered by the blood, covered by the word, covered by promises. We thank you that this house is under your protection. You need to do that in your own house. Do that for your own family. Walk through your house and prophesy. Speak the word of God. Proclaim what God is saying. You've got to say it like you believe it. Oh, because God will do it if you believe. Do you believe him? Do you trust him? God is with us and not against us. Oh, I got to stop this message. Woo! But if God be for me, who can be against me? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Who can be against me? You have to know that as an apostolic house. Why? Because as you start to touch other cities and nations, there will be resistance that comes. And it will challenge your belief that God is with you in that situation. When the opposite starts to come, you'll start to wonder, did we miss God? Maybe we moved at the wrong season. Did we move too fast? But you got to remind yourself, we heard God and we heard him together. And in the multitude of counsel is much wisdom. We make war through counsel. So since God has spoken, we know God is with us. So let's stand still. When resistance comes, stand still. When everything looks bad, stand still. When it looks like the money's not going to come, stand still. Where else you going? You might as well trust God. What else you going to do? Oh, yeah. We got to close this. We got to be done. One of the sisters, she came up to me. She said, the Lord told me to bring you this. I said, coconut water. That's my favorite water in the world. I don't know how you tap a coconut. But whoever learned it the first time, may he live forever. 3 things will be in heaven, Mike. These 3 things I am convinced of. You laugh as though you don't know what's coming now. I believe that chicken will be in heaven. You agree with me on this? All right. In the mouth of 2 or 3. Ah, amen. Say it again. All right. We determined fried chicken shall be in heaven. No, no, no. Y'all getting excited now. The second thing is butter pecan ice cream. I am asking God. Please, for eternity, may I have butter pecan. The rest of y'all who like all them other flavors, I'm not praying for y'all. You ask God for yourself. The last thing is coconut water. That's all I need. That was all a joke for y'all who going to go home and say, I can't believe he said there's going to be chicken in heaven. I had a pastor come up to me. I was preaching a pastor's conference. He came up. He said, I didn't know I could laugh this much in church. I said, I know your face was delayed. He laughed like 3 seconds late, every joke. He said, I had to give myself permission. I said, all right. I said, amen. Oh, I love you. The Lord said to me this morning, he was going to stir a fresh wave of intercession. So we're going to take a moment and just pray for a couple of things. And as the Lord stirs, whatever the Lord has put in your spirit. But the Lord said a fresh wave of intercession. And so we're going to pray for a couple of things. The second thing, the Lord said he was going to release a wave of business anointing. There is a new level of entrepreneurship that's coming to this mountain, where God is birthing new businesses, fresh ideas. God is giving you fresh insight into how to break into markets you couldn't go into before. God is showing some of you business ideas you were never trained for, never learned, and never desired to be in. And in the last about year and a half, God has been giving many of you ideas for new businesses, new ideas, and even how to connect in new cities. And the Lord says those ideas are not ahead of their time, but he put them in your spirit to get you pregnant with faith for it, so that now as it's coming, you can stretch out and know that God will give you strength to produce. The third thing the Lord said was he was going to cause there to be an atmosphere for children and teenagers. Children and teenagers. I saw all of these children and teenagers just filling up the house. Literally, this whole section of Cheers was gone. And all these kids were standing from here to here. Kids were over here, but they were just so packed in the place, y'all had to move the chairs. And they were worshiping nonstop. And all of a sudden, I saw the kids laying out, and you couldn't get them up. They had worshiped until the glory came, and y'all could not get them up. And this is what I heard the Lord say. He said, what I did among the youth 30 years ago, I am going to do again among the teenagers. And I'm going to cause there to be a visitation of my glory and power until the teenagers are so consumed with my presence that they are carrying me into every part of the community. And the Lord says another wave of souls is coming in through the youth. It's through the youth. They are going to be powerful witnesses of the salvation, the healing, and the delivering power of God. They are going to talk about God with such life that entire schools are going to catch on fire. And the Lord said, tell them, be ready. Be ready. What does that mean? When your kid begins to say, all of my friends are asking questions, Mom, or she had a dream and she told it to me, but I don't understand it. You need to be ready to become a voice for the Lord. And don't try to push them. The Lord said, I'm going to draw them. So watch how he's drawing them. If it's through dreams and visions, then you need to start unraveling those dreams and say, that's Jesus talking to you. He's calling you. He's speaking to you. The Lord is going to speak to them with great power. So the Lord says you need to be ready to begin to interpret and to bring life to their experiences. Because they are the Ruths. You are the Naomis. God's going to let them meet the Boaz. He's going to meet them as Redeemer, but they will not understand the process. It is Naomi that explained the process. You're going to be the Naomi to this whole region. Y'all are going to be explaining to them, this is why y'all are having dreams. And this is why you're feeling this heat come upon you when you're worshiping. God's healing people. And this is why God is putting in you, you're weeping all the time. Some of your kids are going to start crying. Lord told me that a few days ago, that some of the children in this area, I saw them in prayer and they began to weep. And the Lord said, I'm going to put a spirit of intercession upon them where they're going to weep until their friends are saved. And they're just going to start crying. They're going to come to you and say, Mama, I don't know why I can't stop crying. But God is putting that upon you because he's calling them deeper. He's calling. Do those words make sense? How many of you have been experiencing some of that where God's been, okay, good. Then I want us to take a moment and just offer ourselves back to the Lord. We love the Lord. We're walking with the Lord. But we want to offer ourselves afresh for his purposes, for the calling of God, for the work of God, that he may have his will done. His will be done. His will be done. We know he is with us, but we want to honor him. Lord, we each in our own voice, before you personally, we rededicate our lives. We rededicate our purpose. We lay our strength at your feet. We recognize that you alone are in charge of our lives, of our destiny, and of this mountain. And we yield to you. We lay down our ideas and we ask for your wisdom. We lay down our strength and we ask for your power. We lay down our arguments and we ask for your spirit to draw. We lay down the right to be right and we ask for righteousness to be seen. We lay down all fighting and we ask for healing to come. We ask you, Lord, to breathe upon us. To breathe upon us together. Oh, we come, God. And we give you our lives again. We give you our lives again. Now, just between you and him, however he leads you, if you want to kneel, you can kneel. If you want to lift your hands, if you just want to sit. But let's take a couple of minutes and just yield everything. And right where we are, if you need to get your heart right with God and give your life back to him, if you haven't been living like you know he wants you to live, if you've never said yes to him, right now, just, Lord, I give you my life. Right now. Save and deliver. Heal. We worship you. And for the times when we accused you of not moving fast enough, God, we repent to you. For the times when we held you hostage to our expectation, we repent to you. For the times when we told you what to do instead of simply doing what you told us to do, we repent to you.
We repent for stirring up anger when you told us to go low. We repent for demanding attention when you said, be humble. We repent for believing a lie about a brother or sister instead of going to them and making peace. We repent. We repent for when we felt justified in being angry. They spit in your face. They pulled out your beard. They put thorns into your flesh. They beat you until your back was raw. They put you on a cross you did not deserve. And you said nothing because of love. Forgive us for all the times when we felt justified for saying, I've had enough, when you never did. You never did. You never said enough. You said, for them I'll do this. For them I'll go. Give us that kind of love. Show us how to go until others are saved. Show us how to serve until others are blessed. Show us how to go low so others can be lifted up. We exchange now our rights for your will. Let your will be done, and let your kingdom come in this place and in our lives. Let your will be done, and your kingdom come in our families, in our marriages, in our children and grandchildren, in our businesses and community. Your will. Whether we are comfortable or uncomfortable, we choose your will. Whether we understand or we don't, we choose your will. For you know what's good for us. And now we trust you. We set our hearts back in alignment. We trust you. We throw off all unbelief. We trust you. Settle us now. I pray now for every person in this room that God would settle your heart, that he would settle your mind, that you would be at peace, that nothing would trouble you, that when trouble comes, it cannot trouble you, for you are at peace. I pray that God make you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I pray that wherever your name is heard, the saints will rejoice because they know you have served God well. I pray that wherever your name is heard, demons will tremble, for they know you bring the kingdom of God. I pray that whatever you touch, may God prosper it and give you favor. For he knows you are trustworthy vessels. Oh, bless your children, Father. Bless. Bless. On the inside of your very being, may the Lord bless you. In your mind where you were troubled, may the Lord bless you. In your body where sickness was dwelling, may the Lord bless you. May healing come. May strength arise. May joy bubble up. Oh. Oh, Rabababas. Papa, Dios. right where you are, I don't want you to move around. Just grab one or two people by their hands and begin to pray blessing. Pray blessing upon them, into their life, into their home, into what they need. We declare the blessings of God. For all that you have gone through, we declare the blessings of God. That you will know you are not alone. The blessings of the Lord. Bless, Lord. Strengthen. Make whole again. Oh, bless, Lord. Oh, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. Pray for them like you want them to pray for you. Hey. No more sorrow. No more grief. No more dark nights. We declare a change of season. We declare an opening of a new day. We declare the breakthroughs of God. In the name of Jesus. Oh. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh. Oh my goodness. The Lord is moving. The Lord is moving. Oh, God is moving. Wave upon wave. 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 In this house now, wave upon wave, increase of glory, increase of glory, increase of glory, increase of manifestations, increase of your moving. Oh, pour out, oh God, loose your glory, rivers, rivers, rivers. Those, while we're still in worship, all of those who, when we called out earlier, God has called you to intercession, that fresh fire of intercession, I need you to just stand up real quick. There's a call of intercession on you. Yes. Oh, Rabaso. Yeah. Now, I just need you to come down just real quick. We're going to be quick. Just come down across here as much as you can. All the way to that side, all the way across.
Come on, Dev, Gary, Jim, come on. Ushoba baha ye. Ushoto baba. Ishebe ando kobo. Koba baba baba mane. Ishede baba baba mane. Oh, hey. Shopa raba baba baba mando so. Oh, raba baba de hey. Yes. Now I want you to just put your right hand on your belly. He says out of your belly is going to flow rivers. Don't focus on anybody around you. Don't pay attention to everybody else. I want you to just begin to thank the Lord for a new river coming through you. There's a river of fire. A river of fire. A river of fire. A river of intercession that breaks chains, that breaks yokes, that breaks the power of the enemy. And the Lord is lighting. He's lighting the fire of intercession.
is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names, and he's worthy of all praise. Yes, my heart will sing, how great is our God. Oh, he's the name above all names, and he's worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God, none like you, Lord. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. None like you, Lord, seated on the throne, King of kings, Lord of lords. We worship you, we honor you. Thank you.
Just as we're in God's presence, if you are wanting more, if you are asking the Lord and you want a touch and you haven't received prayer, just come on up to the altar. We're just going to minister to everyone who wants hands laid on them as Patrick just flows in worship. And then we're not going to make any more announcements after that. We're just going to minister in worship. Amen. Yeah. Oh, yeah.